Today's reading is from Hebrew, chapter 11. This can be found on page 1209. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Father God, we pray that your Spirit would be powerfully at work in each and every heart here. We pray that you would speak to us and that you would change us and transform us into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Amen. So one of my favorite topics is the man Enoch. Now, part of the reason for this is because it was actually Enoch whom I preached my first sermon on far before I came to LEC back in America. But truly, Enoch is an inspiration. Enoch was a man who walked with God. And that can't be said of many people throughout history, or many people in the Bible for that matter. In fact, the only other person in the Bible who is said to have walked with God is Noah. And I think it's because this idea of walking with God is so central to the heart of Christianity, to the center of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, which makes Enoch so important. That this idea of walking with God explains a life lived with God. Now, there are a number of things which are central to the human condition. Things like birth, marriage, friendship, joy, work. But there's also things that are not so fun, not so happy. Things like pain, suffering, death. And that last thing, that death, as we heard in the Genesis passage, it's something which will come to us all. If you're sitting here right now, you're going to die. May not be today, may not be tomorrow, but eventually your life will end like those people in Genesis. No matter how long you live, no matter if you have kids or how many kids you have, your life's going to end in death. And that's sort of the message which we see in Genesis 5 that was read to us. And, I mean, obviously, you know, the kids and us were having fun sort of laughing at the fact that, you know, Peter would come up to the mic and say, "And they died." But, I mean, really, it's no laughing matter. And yet, Enoch never died. That's the testimony that we have from history. So Enoch is a contrast from all those people in Genesis. Enoch is a contrast from every one of us. Now, how it happened, what exactly happened, we don't know. All it says was God took him and he was no more. And then in Hebrews it clarifies by saying that he did not experience death. And again, Enoch is unique here because the only other person in all of human history who hasn't experienced death is the prophet Elijah that you'll find in 2 Kings. But what do we know about this Enoch guy? I mean, we know a lot about Elijah. There's many, many chapters written about that prophet. But there's not many details about Enoch. In fact, he's only listed in a few short verses in all of Scripture. But what we can know is we can know something he did, he got it right. Now, Enoch lived a very minimum of 5,000 years ago. He lived before the flood, that flood of Noah. And actually, Enoch was the great-great-grandfather of Noah. And from the book of Jude, we know that Enoch lived during particularly wicked times, evil times, where the world was getting more and more ungodly, where people were turning away from God and turning towards themselves. Yet Enoch, again, is contrasted, because even the name in Hebrew means dedicated. Enoch was a man dedicated to God. But most importantly, we know that Enoch walked with God. And that's actually listed twice in that chapter in Genesis. And normally in Hebrew writing, when something is repeated, it's important. It's an emphasis. So you could say the whole chapter that we read is about death on one hand, and yet about this exception to death, this man Enoch who walked with God on the other. So you have walking with God, or you have death. So likely Moses was the one who wrote the first five books of the Bible. Moses wrote Genesis. So what do you think Moses is trying to emphasize? What is Moses' point? Why does Moses repeat twice the words, he walked with God? And I think it can probably be guessed. I think that Moses was, he was trying to get across to these Israelites. Now remember, the Israelites were given the law through Moses. They were in fact given 613 laws to follow, to be exact. And if you were an Israelite, it would be very easy for you to think, well, you know, the center of my faith, the center of this religion is all about these 613 rules, right? So Moses, in relating the history of the human race, starting with a man named Adam and going down through the man Abraham, and through Abraham ending up with the Hebrew nation, we have this idea of Enoch showing us what the true faith is all about. That it's not necessarily about all the rules, but there's a deeper level, there's a heart level, a level that involves faith and that involves intimacy. And that whole concept is wrapped up in what Moses says is walking with God. Now, in other ways, Enoch isn't very unique. Because as far as we know, he didn't really achieve anything that great. He didn't, you know, defeat any armies. You know, he didn't perform any great miracles. He didn't write any of the books of the Bible. All we know is that his end was special, that God took him. That was the only miraculous thing we know. That he was just a normal dude. He was just a normal person like you and me. So that's what makes him someone who is relevant to us today. despite the fact that he lived 5,000 years ago. Now, Hebrews 11 is the chapter we're in today. And we started last week with a man named Abel. And what this chapter does is it goes through a list of ancient Israelites. What is common about all these people? Well, they're all, in some sense, commended for their faith. They're men and women who pleased God in some way. Towards the end of the chapter, it actually says that the world was not worthy of these great men and women. And what's interesting is that these were real people in history who had real struggles, who had real sins. In fact, there's a number of people in this list as we go through this week by week. There's some that are murderers. There's some who are adulterers. There's even a non-Jewish prostitute in this list. So the praise of these people doesn't seem to be based on their ability, but they're just ordinary people like you and me who serve an extraordinary God, a God who is above ordinary. And this is encouraging, that faith, a living faith, can coexist with imperfections, that we don't have to be perfect, that we don't have to perform any great miracles. That Enoch was commended to us. Enoch was listed as a hero of ancient Israel for doing nothing else but walking with God. And this list, these heroes, they can help strengthen our faith. We can look to them to encourage our walk with God. We can imitate them. They can serve as models. Models of people who put God at the center of their lives. They put God and God's ways as their priority in life. Now, you might be asking, well, what does it mean to walk with God? Well, the first thing that we should talk about is literally the idea of walking, because all of us walk. We probably walked at least part of the way here. Even if we took a car, we walked to the car. So everybody knows about walking. Now, the first fact about walking is the fact that you probably aren't going to walk with a stranger. Think about it, especially you women. If a stranger comes up to you and says they'd like to walk with you, what are you going to say? You're probably not going to want to walk with them. Walking with God then means to trust God. You have to trust the person you're walking with. Secondly, second fact about walking. To walk with someone, you must be going in the same direction. If I'm going one way and you're going the other way, you cannot walk with that person. So there has to be a fundamental agreement between you and that other person. So to walk with God means fundamental agreement. It means that you're going in the same direction that God is going in. Another fact about walking is that normally you must like the other person, at least a little bit. I mean, they're probably not going to be your enemies. Again, if someone were to say to you, would you like to go on a walk with me? And they were your enemy, or you hated them, or you disagreed with everything they stood for, it wouldn't work. So to walk with God means relationship. To have a relationship with God is to walk with God. Then there's the idea that a lot of times when you walk, there's talking involved. There's discussion. There's dialogue. There's sort of a back and forth communication. So walking with God means talking and listening. It means having an interactive discussion with God, hearing from Him and speaking to Him. Then, another idea about walking is that you must be near to the person. If I'm on one side of the street walking, and someone is on the other side of the street walking, we're not walking with that person. So you have to be close enough to the other person. We both have to be on the same side of the street, close enough so that the other person can see you and talk to you, and probably even close enough to touch you. So normally when you're near someone, they're going to know a lot about you. So when we walk with God, it means opening up our lives to God's inspection. It means allowing ourselves to be open and vulnerable before God. You can't walk before God if you don't want to be near Him, if you don't want to open up your life. And finally, walking. Normally, you have to agree to keep going in the same direction for the long term. If I start walking somewhere with you, and 2 minutes later I stop and sit down, and we haven't reached our goal, then we can't be walking together. So, to walk with God means endurance. It means continuing to walk over the long term. Now, this walk with God, this walk that Enoch had, how is it the same as ours? Well, if you want to look in your Bibles at verse 6, this is in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, "And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." It seems that Enoch's faith involved belief. Now that's simple enough. But this belief seemed to be something that was a trust, a deep trust in God. You could even say a deep conviction in God. Something that compelled Enoch into action. So much so that Enoch could see what was not seen. He knew that there was more to this world than what he could see with his eyes, than what he could hear with his physical ears. He saw the unseen as real. Enoch also seemed to see God as a rewarder, or the ultimate rewarder, that God was good and just and is going to do something with our lives, is going to do something with humanity, is going to do something with this world. That God is a rewarder, that He's going to bless those who walk with Him. And also, this idea that Enoch earnestly seeks out God, that there was a sincerity in which Enoch desired to know God, desired to follow God, so that Enoch wasn't just content to have God as a small part of his life, or have God on the shelf, so to speak. Enoch was someone who earnestly and eagerly desired to know God. And because of that, his actions reflected it, because he was continually seeking after God. He was continually walking with God. Now, what can we know about Enoch? What can we infer about his life? Well, he actually lived a relatively short life compared to his contemporaries. But yet, he lived that life in communion with God. He had quality over quantity. And he pleased God because he was walking with God. He took what he knew about God, whatever he knew about God, he took what he knew about God, what had been revealed to him, and he responded accordingly. He acted upon what he had heard. He acted upon what he knew. He lived it, in other words. His lifestyle reflected the fact that he was seeking hard after God. His lifestyle reflected the fact that he was walking with God on a daily basis. Now, let me explain to you, in conclusion, what walking is not. as I sort of already said before, walking with God is not simply a set of rules about do's and don'ts. It's not found in a particular ritual that you might perform as a Christian. It's not found in a particular denomination or a particular church group. And it's definitely not found just on Sunday mornings. The essence of walking with God is something which is daily. It's something which is interactive. It's not something where one morning a week you come and you sit and then you leave and you forget about God. That's not walking with God. But what is walking with God? Well, whatever it is, it seems to be centered on faith. And this idea of faith seems to be the core of what it means to please God. And it's something that's unchanging. So someone like Enoch, who lived 5,000 years ago, it can be just as real, just as meaningful for us, no matter what culture we're from, no matter what age we are, to trust God, to have a deep trust in God, and to act accordingly, to ask Him for that faith, to ask Him for that help, to ask Him for His grace. That is what it means to walk with God. And yes, there's going to be setbacks. None of us are perfect. I am not perfect, and I never will be on this earth. Yet, I want to continue to walk with God. I want to continue to trust Him more and more and ask Him for His help so that I can trust Him more. So I'm going to continue despite the unknown. Now, as we remember, walking with God means trust. It means fundamental agreement. It means relationship. It means opening up our lives to God's inspection. And it means endurance. Now, we started by talking about the fact that we're all going to die. That death is something that, no matter how good your doctor is, no matter how good science gets in the next 50 years, we're all going to die. No matter how much you exercise or how much we eat the health food or the bio stuff, it might make the quality of our lives better. You know, you might live another year or two, but we're all going to die. Enoch was an exception to this. Somehow, the message is that there's a link. There's a link between victory over death on the one hand and walking with God on the other. And then the question becomes for us, well, how do we have victory over death? How does that happen today? And the answer is obviously, well, in some way, we have to walk with God today. That is how victory over death is achieved. And more specifically, Jesus. Jesus is the way in which we can defeat death. Because we can't defeat death ourselves, but yet, because Jesus has defeated death, His victory can be applied to us. Just as Enoch was a man who walked with God, we can be those who walk in the way of Jesus. We can walk with God by walking with Jesus. Enoch was a seeker of God. We too can be seekers of God through Jesus. We can seek out God. We can seek out His mercy, His goodness, His justice, His faithfulness. We can seek all those things out most fully and most perfectly in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And that's actually going to be the conclusion of, if you go through all these heroes in chapter 11, okay, after you get through all these heroes of ancient times, at the start of chapter 12, you get to Jesus. And if you want to look with me at Jesus at the start of chapter 12, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. If you'd like to walk with God today, walk with Jesus. He has marked it out for us. He has done what is necessary. He holds out his hand and he says, come, walk with me. You don't have to know how to walk. You just have to be willing to trust Jesus, to trust that he is the way, that walking with Jesus is the link today between victory over death, which is certain, and our lives. And then finally, Enoch and these other heroes, these other ancient men, Abel, Noah, Abraham, they were heroes of ancient times. For the Israelites, could look to them as models. They could look to them as inspiration. So the question for us today could be, do you know any Enochs? Does anyone here know any Enochs? Now, I don't mean people named Enoch. I don't mean people who live 365 years. I mean people who are heroes in the faith. People who can serve as models for us in the faith. People who put God as their top priority. People who seem to us, by their life, to shine as people who love Jesus, who trust Jesus, who walk with Jesus. Because just as the Israelites could look to Enoch, we can look to people today. And it could be that there's someone in your life right now, or someone in this room, who that you could look to, you could learn from, you could walk with. They could serve as a mentor to you. They could serve to disciple you. They could serve to help you, to encourage you in your walk. Just like Enoch did that for the ancient Israelites. So we today can do that for each other. We can encourage each other. We can inspire each other. We can help each other along in our faith. Because it's true that we're not meant to go it alone. The Christian life is not a solitary box where we don't have interaction with others. It was meant to be something which was lived out in community, in friendships, in an extended family of people of faith. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this man Enoch. Thank you for Jesus and the fact that we can walk with Jesus. We can walk with you, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to understand these things, that you would help us to trust in you. Lord, inspire us to walk with you, to center our lives on you, to make you our top priority from day to day, from hour to hour. And we pray that you would help us to find our Enochs. Help us to find those whose faith is strong and who can help us along the path. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.